Our morning chapel speaker is Dr. George Hillman, who serves as assistant professor of spiritual formation and leadership, as well as serving as the director for our Center of Biblical Studies. George comes to DTS with over 10 years of ministry experience, including a local pastorate of spiritual development. He's been directing the Center for Biblical Studies as the natural extension of his passion for leadership development and discipleship, and strives for CBS to continue to be one of the premier non-degree theological training grounds of the country. We have great dreams for that program to continue to expand and develop. We appreciate his leadership in that area. He's one of the few Texas natives, probably, on our faculty. He grew up in Denton and currently resides with his wife, Jana, and his daughter, Catherine, in Frisco, Texas. He loves to travel, read, outdoor sports, football, and cheers on his alma mater, Texas A&M, along with the University of Georgia. I'm not sure how he can do both of those, but he does. Would you join me in welcoming Dr. George Hillman to our platform this morning?
Thanks so much. I just throw in the Texas A&M thing to get some cheap, audience participation. Well, it's always a really good thing. Well, I want to say two things just as personal remarks before I get started. First is, it truly is a privilege to be speaking here. Incredible men of faith have preached from this stage, and it truly is an honor to be here. And then secondly, as a person who did not go to school at Dallas Theological Seminary, I want to tell you how much I love this place. Wow, this is just a fantastic school. And I'm not saying that as a commercial because your tuition money pays me for that. I have fallen in love with this place. I have fallen in love with this faculty. And you have an incredible opportunity to study God's Word here. And so I'm thankful to be a part of that. Well, here's my question to kind of get you started. And I'm going to ask the faculty as well to respond as well on this. How many of you in college changed your major at least once in your college experience? Go on, raise your hand. Okay, we got faculty as well that's raised their hands. I was the king of college major changing during my academic career at Texas A&M. I started off as a biology major. I wanted to be a doctor. I liked science. I thought that was a noble pursuit. I then became a wildlife and fisheries major. I wanted to be a park ranger. Then I made this radical shift to become a history major. And then I finally ended up being a sociology major. And that was my career at Texas A&M. With the biology, as I said, I enjoyed science class in high school. I still like watching the Discovery Channel. I like watching the hunting patterns of some obscure penguin breed. Well, but what happened was that I showed up at class in my first semester at A&M, fantastic grades, and I was taking, biology 101 and racquetball PE, but I made great grades my first semester. The second semester, though, I came face to face with advanced biology lab. Now, I had taken lab in high school. I had dissected an earthworm, maybe had dissected a frog. Well, our project in this advanced biology lab was to dissect a pig. Okay, I can handle the pig. I can do this. Well, our TA in our lab would give us a little worksheet, fill in the blank. How big is the heart? Where's the liver? Those types of things. And I was very task-oriented. I could answer the worksheet fairly quickly. And what I noticed, though, is that I was finishing before everybody else. And it wasn't because I was smarter. Everybody else in the class was being meticulous in their examination of the pig. Well, it came time for the final. And our lab TA said, and I quote, "You can take your pig home with you to study." I thought, who in the world is going to take their pig home to study? I was the only person that did not. I realized at that point that I enjoyed science, but I didn't have a passion for it. I looked around and I saw the people in this class, and these were the future surgeons. I wanted to be under the knife of these people, but if it had been reversed, I would have been the doctor that would have had the liability lawsuits. And I just need to get out of that. Well, after a brief kind of swim in wildlife and fisheries, I decided to become a history major. Flipping through there, and again, I like history. I watch the History Channel today. Sure, it'd be a great major. Well, then I discovered in the catalog that you had to take 2 years of a foreign language. I'm not a language guy. And so I changed my major again, and literally, this is how I made my career choice. I opened up the catalog, and I looked for something that would transfer credits in and didn't have a language. And I ended up being a sociology major. And, you know, that's great logic to tell your parents, hey, Dad, I've chosen an academic career with no viable job options whatsoever because I discovered I'm not a math person, I'm not a science person, I'm not a language person. Well, y'all laugh about that, but a lot of you have been in the exact same path as what I've talked about. Some of you struggled through college trying to figure out, do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? We expect you as an 18-year-old to figure out your entire life. Some of you graduated college, you had a wonderful career, and you hated it. It wasn't the right fit. Some of you have really been wrestling with this call to ministry. Some of you are here, and you're not really sure why. God's got me here, but I'm not really sure how the pieces are fitting just yet. Some of you are graduating in 9 weeks, and you have no clue what you're going to do June 1st. And some of you are going to graduate from here, and you're going to be in ministry settings, and it's going to grate because it's not a fit. And you're going to force yourself to be into a place that isn't you, isn't how you've been created. I want to read a quote from Oz Guinness. Oz filled our stage here a while back. He came for a thing with Leading Edge. And this comes from a quote from his book, The Call, which is a fantastic, fantastic book. He says, are you looking for purpose in life? For a purpose big enough to absorb every ounce of your attention, deep enough to plumb every mystery of your passions, and lasting long enough to inspire you to your very last breath? Are you looking for a purpose bigger than yourself? His conclusion is the call of God is the only thing that will allow that to happen. And this is how he defines calling. He describes it as the truth that God calls us to himself so decisively that everything we are, everything we do, and everything we have is invested with a special devotion, dynamic, and direction lived out as a response to his summons and his service. I'd love to be on board for that. Sign me up. I want to take you very briefly to a passage that answers some of these questions that are in your mind. It's in the book of Romans. I know that's dangerous for me as a guy who went to the other seminary in Fort Worth, because y'all have studied Romans probably more in a classroom setting than I ever have. But by golly, we're going to Romans, and we're going to Romans 12 even. Probably one of the most familiar passages that you experience while here. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And as you're turning there, we come to Romans chapter 12, and it's a pivot point of the book. For 11 chapters in the book of Romans, Paul has been meticulously unfolding the mercies of God. He has been weaving together a picture of what does grace look like. And he has been showing how this very ragtag groups of Jews and Gentiles, how they've been woven together in a fabric of faith. He comes to Romans chapter 12, and it serves as both a transitional spot for what's happening in the book, and it serves as a prelude for everything that's going to happen in the book that follows. Very familiar passage. He says, therefore, I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good, what is well-pleasing, and what is perfect. Paul is pleading with the Roman believers, and pleading with us as well, to remember the incredible, many, many mercies of God. to remember how God has taken us from where we are in our past and where He's taking us in the future. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and there's other passages as well, talk about this idea of a primary calling. I can point you to other scriptures that talk about a primary calling as well. Your primary call as a believer, it's the same for every one of us. Same for us on stage, same for you here. It is to be that living sacrifice. It is to have that living and dynamic relationship with God. That's the primary call. That's the umbrella underneath how I function, what I choose as my major, what I do with my life falls under. And it's primary because it is paramount to everything. And I am never to put the cart before the horse. As believers, we function underneath this umbrella to be this living sacrifice. And so when I talk about calling, I automatically always have to think about my primary call. My secondary call, what I do as a career, where I live, what my role is always subject to what happens with the primary call. But now jump down to verses 6 through 8. Because this is where our functional call comes in, the second half of the calling. He says, and we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If the gift is prophecy, that individual must use it in proportion to his faith. If it's service, he must serve. If it's teaching, he must teach. If it's exhortation, he must exhort. If it is contributing, he must do so with sincerity. If it is leadership, he must do so with diligence. And if it's showing mercy, he must do it with cheerfulness. Now, my purpose here, I'm not going into theology of spiritual gifts, and I'm not going to tell you why this system of categorizing gifts is better than this system. Suffice it to say for our discussion today that all of us as believers have spiritual gifts. They are gifts of grace, and they are not gifts of anything that is of our merit. These are the functions, how I function in the body underneath this primary calling. Never look at spiritual gifts as a multiple choice test. Never look at spiritual gifts as a shopping list. Never look at spiritual gifts as some type of Christian dating service. You know, I'm an administrator, you're a prophet, do you think we have something between the two of us? Don't do that. There's a mystery behind the gifts. But the gifts are how we function in the body. God's normal mode of operation, if I can be so bold as to say that, is to gift you for service. Now, of course, I can show you examples of people that had no gifting whatsoever in certain areas and have incredible ministries in areas that we would think these gifts would be present. But by and large, that is very rare indeed. God is going to give you a functional call underneath your umbrella of a primary call. And this verse talks about it. Now, one thing I want you to understand when we talk about functional calling is never confuse career with functional calling. I really don't care where you get your paycheck from. Some of you are going to have the incredible privilege to receive a ministry paycheck for fulfilling your functional calling. Be thankful for that. But the majority of the world, and a lot of you, are going to receive paychecks, are going to pay bills in areas that are not the functional call of your life. And you're going to have opportunities to serve in that functional call in the body. But the paycheck is going to not be in that area. I'll give you a real quick confession. I struggled with my identity when I came on faculty here. I had been on staff at churches, and I've told a couple people who go to Bent Tree, I didn't know Bent Tree Bible Fellowship could open without me being on staff. I was there. I designed the education building. I'm supposed to be there. And even though I was a faculty member, I was no longer on staff. I liked being on staff. I liked the power. Being on staff can be very addicting. And I noticed very quickly, and I had to have people come alongside saying, you know what, you are equating your job at the church with your functional calling. Your functional call is now expanded. And it's a danger that a lot of us fall into. So when you hear functional call, I'm talking about your role in the body and not as much about the career. as you have before you. Now, this is all basic stuff. We've all heard Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. We all have heard about spiritual gifts. We've studied this, and you've probably taken spiritual gift tests in this class or this group, and we do it in spiritual formation. What I want to focus on in the remaining very few minutes is I want to focus on the bridge between the primary call and the functional call. Hop back up to Romans 12, verses 3 through 5. Paul again, he says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment, as God has distributed to each of you a measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, and not all members serve the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members who belong to one another." The bridge between 1 and 2 and the remainder of 3 through 8 is the renewed mind. Four times in 3, he says, think. He says, think, but don't hyperthink. Think, but soberly think. This idea of thinking. I think sometimes when we start talking about our functional call, we think that it is just going to come in a vision in our Damascus Road experience. And again, does it happen? Yes, it does. But that is not God's normal mode of operation. God wants you to wrestle with this. That's why you're here at seminary. You're here at seminary to test your call, to wrestle with it, to be in community, to have people challenging you, to ask you the hard questions. I want to talk about four very brief things that serve as the bridge that are found in 3 through 5. Very first thing is, always, when you're thinking about functional call in your life, what is my role under the primary call? It is always based on grace. Paul, at the very first of verse 3, he says, "For by the grace given to me." Now, of course, he's talking about he as an apostle, but he says, "I am an apostle, and I understand that's all about grace." You are going to be pastors of incredible churches. You are going to be missionaries in places of the world that nobody's ever even thought about being a missionary. You're going to be school teachers. You're going to have incredible impact for the kingdom. Never forget that's about grace. I have no business being up here on this stage. I pinch myself in faculty meeting as I look around and I say, wait, I'm five doors down from Howard Hendricks. What? I don't deserve to be here. It is because of grace. The times in ministry when I have gotten off kilter is when I have forgotten about the grace. When I have a clear focus on Christ, that is the key to understanding myself rightly. And that is the first key to spiritual formation. Paul says in verse 3, "For the grace given to me as an apostle." He says in verse 6, "For the grace given to each one of you." Second, don't oversell yourself. The words here, hyperthink, but it's very easy. When I get the cart before the horse and I forget about the grace, I think I'm a pretty good guy. And I start thinking that the church can't open without me being there on Sunday morning. And you know what? It opened the next Sunday after I was no longer on staff. And here's another thing. As I was at seminary, I had a concept in my mind, well, I'm supposed to be a senior pastor. Because everybody at seminary is supposed to be a senior pastor. I would stink as a senior pastor. I am an incredible number two guy. I love taking my gifts of administration. I love taking people together and organizing. I love having a teaching ministry. I love having a gift of leadership and giving vision and giving reality to what's been cast. But if I had to preach Sunday after Sunday, oh, it would just bring me down, because that's not who I am. And I would be forcing myself into something that is not me. Let me give you a little hint about things. When you have been in a ministry setting and it fits, you know it, and guess what? Everybody else does too. And when you have been in a ministry setting and you're forcing yourself into the round hole as a square peg, you know it, and guess what? Everybody else does too. Find the fit. Don't oversell yourself. But the flip side of that coin is don't undersell yourself either. That's the third aspect of it. I can forget God's mercies and think that I'm better than I really am. I can also forget God's mercies and think that I'm absolutely nothing. Well, I can't serve. I look here at Dallas Theological Seminary. I'm not the big preacher. I don't want to be the pastor of the big mega church. There's no role for me. No. Paul says all. Every one of you have an incredible gift. Every one of you have incredible opportunities to serve. Never undersell yourself. Remembering the grace, don't oversell yourself, don't undersell yourself. Then here's the kicker, though, is that this whole idea of calling, functional calling, comes in the concepts of community. How I discover who I am is not based on a multiple choice test. It's not based on me sitting down with a person for 10 minutes and interviewing them. I discover who I am by being in the context of community. I've had the great pleasure of leading spiritual formation groups here on campus. And I've finished one group and we're starting a new group. I see a couple guys here. I had to kind of pack the meeting place this morning. So I've made my spiritual formation group come. But I can look at my guys, and after only being with them for a couple of months, I can tell you every one of their gifts because I've seen them in community. My wife and I lead a home group at Bent Tree, and I can tell you every one of the gifts of the people in my group because we've lived in community. Somewhere on the path in Western Christianity, we've missed the boat when it comes to this idea of community and discovering your gifts. Community is essential for spiritual discernment. We are called to faith in community. We live out the transformed life in community. The purpose of our functional call is to serve community. And guess what? Community is the thing that keeps me humble. When left to my own devices, when I don't let people get into my world, I think I'm a pretty good guy. When I am in the messiness of life, when I am in community with one another, when I am truly a part of the body of Christ, I realize that grace is needed even more than I knew before. Two very brief things I want to tell you about this idea of calling in community. As I've already said before, your functional call is to serve community. You are never called to be in isolation. You need to be asking, I am a part of this body, how do I contribute? That's both in your local congregation, that's both in the church with a big C. How do I fit? How do I contribute? Never think about, well, I'm over here and I'm going to create this. And then once this is created, then I'm going to go and I'm going to see if there's a place for me. You've gotten the cart before the horse. What is the community calling for? And how can I fit in that? There is an incredible unity of the church, a plurality of the members, and there's a diversity of the gifts. Here's the best thing to take away with this, a theology of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts means that I am really great at some stuff and I stink at some other stuff, and that's okay. There's some things I do really well, but I stink at some other things. And guess what? All of you, you do some things incredibly well, and some of you stink at the same at different things as well. And that's okay. It's incredible. One of the neat things about my job is I get to hear what y'all want to do with your lives. We've got evangelistic rap artists. We've got apologetics webmasters. We've got people that want to be school teachers. We've got people that want to be professors. We've got people that want to go back into the business world and have an incredible impact for Christ. We've got everything here. And I have guys come in my office and they say they're called to junior high ministry. And I think, are you crazy? But you know what? I'm really glad that guy's there because my daughter is going to be in that junior high group. I need him because he is strong where I am weak. And hopefully I can bring something where I am strong where he is weak. That's a great theology of spiritual gifts. Keeps you humble. You're not one-stop shop. You can't do it all. You've got to have the body. Then the second little caveat about community and about the calling in community is that your functional call is affirmed in community. Theologians talk about a personal call and a corporate call. What does the body say to you? As you serve, as you have people come up to you and say, oh, you would do an incredible job with this, an incredible job with that. I see faces. I know your stories. You have people that come up to you and say, have you ever thought about this or have you ever thought about that? That's why we put you in a spiritual formation group for 2 years. That's why in your internship, I'm going to have multiple people talking to you about what your call is. Your call in the function is affirmed by the body. And never forget that. As I said briefly a couple minutes ago, you're here to test your calling. We're here to help you out in that. It's great to have questions. Bring them on. This is the place to ask them. I would much rather you ask those questions now than to spend thousands of dollars, spend 4, 5, 6 years of your life, move your family out to Timbuktu and be absolutely miserable. Why in the world would you do that? This is your chance to be in community with one another, to be in community in your local fellowship. These are great people up here. Bounce your ideas off of them to figure out, how do I fit? All of you here fit in one of three categories. Some of you have come to seminary, and you are looking at seminary as a confirmation of what you already know. You've already been in ministry. Some of you have more ministry experience than most of us on stage. You've been missionaries, you've been pastors, and you're coming back to get the tools that you've needed. What we want to do in the seminary experience is to come alongside you to help hone that call and to help develop your character. For some of you, you are here, and again, you have those questions. I know I'm supposed to be here, but I could go down path A or I could go down path B. Let's help figure those things out. And then some of you are exactly like I was. See, in college, I had 4 majors. I showed up at seminary with no clue what I wanted to do either. And I've been in your shoes. I know what it's like to show up on campus and have no clue about why you're here. I know now, 14, 15 years later, but when I look back, I didn't see the pieces of the puzzle. I've done college ministry. I've done single adult ministry. I've been an education minister. I've done youth ministry. I've done just about everything but direct the choir at one time or another. And I look back now at what I'm doing now, and God has taken this and this and this and this. And people ask, what's it like to be in my job right now? It's my dream job. Roll me out in the coffin. I love what I'm doing. It's taken me 14 years to get here. For some of you, the functional calling is not going to come overnight, and that's okay. My primary call is first. And in the process of my primary call, in the process of being in that living in dynamic relationship, the functional call will come. 3 nuggets for you to take away. 1, always focus on the primary call. Always focus first and foremost on that. I really don't care what your job description is. I don't care what your business card says. I don't care what your grades are. If the primary call, if the living and dynamic relationship with God is out of sync, you've got bigger fish to fry than to figure out where you're going to work. Deal with that stuff now. 2, exercise your functional calling. If you think you're a teacher, why are you not teaching? That's why I'm here as your internship person. If you think you are called to work in China, why are you not worshiping at a Chinese church right now? I would love to place you there. Don't put it on hold. I know people say, oh, and if I get in trouble for this, oh well, it's been nice working here. No, but I hear people say, well, I'm here to be, this is my season of life to be a student. And yes, be a student. But you're also here to hone your call. Get engaged. Exercise the gift. Don't wait till you graduate to say, well, now I'm going to have my teaching ministry. Jump in the pond now and get involved. And I know sometimes you say, well, I'm at this church and there's no space for me. Trust me. I know the churches in town. They all would love to have you serve. Jump in. Exercise that gift now. That's how you're going to figure it out. You're going to try this and you're going to try this. I teach 4th grade Sunday school right now at my church. I stink as a 4th grade Sunday school teacher, but I'm doing it because it's a need. I know I'm not called to children's ministry. I figured that out over the course of the past 8 months. And that's great. That's okay. I look at other people in this class that are teaching 4th grade Sunday school with me. Gosh, they're gifted. Thank goodness they're there. Engage. Use the gifts now. And then finally, the last thing is inquire in your community about your functional call. One of the things I will ask you when you do your internship at the end, I'll say, well, what's your wife or what's your husband say? And I am shocked when people say, well, you know what, we don't discuss it that much. What? You're getting ready to go be a missionary someplace and you haven't discussed that with your wife? I'll say, what do the five closest people in your life, what do they say about your call? Well, you know, I really haven't asked them. What? You now need to have people coming around you, praying for you, coming around you, asking you the hard questions. You have got to identify those people. Again, spiritual formation is part of that process. Your local body is part of that process. You have some faculty here that you have great relationships with. They're part of this process. Engage the community. Let them ask you the hard questions. Because you're called, but you're not called individualistically. You're always called in the context of community. We sang probably one of my favorite hymns at the front of this, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." If that hymn had been written in the time of Paul, Paul would have sung it at the top of his lungs. Because he says, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gains I count but loss. And I pour contempt on all of my pride." That's what it's talking about. My primary call, it's not about me. It's about in the dynamic relationship with God. My functional call, how I fit in the body. Understanding my primary call, but then understanding how do I fit in this community. Not coming at it pridefully, but coming at it with just an understanding of grace. An understanding of who God is. If you accomplish nothing else while you're here at school, you've done well in tackling those two things. Let's pray. Father, as always, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I thank you always for the opportunity to invest in the lives of the students that are here. May we never take for granted our primary call. You call us to you. We are able to serve because you are the caller. And Father, may we never take for granted our functional calling, our role in the body. We might not understand it right now, but we trust in you. As we pursue our primary calling of following you in a dynamic relationship, you promise that the functional calling will take place. Continue to transform our minds so that we can think the thoughts of you. Continue to allow us to be shaped by your Spirit as you mold us into the godly servant leaders that you have called us to be. Thank you for the privilege of being here at Dallas Theological Seminary. And we pray all these things boldly in the name of your Son, Jesus.